Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 69, The Way Involves Commitment. Today is Friday, October 17th, 2008.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
Thanks for joining me, Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast, episode 69, The Way Involves Commitment. I love that song. I think I'm going to go out and get a pair of roller skates, too. Definitely going to have roller skates at the store. Yeah, roller skates it is. Maybe bikes. Well, I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, actually from the historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue in North Minneapolis, where Pastor Paul is busy handing out food. You can also visit us at www.pastorpaul.org, our online website. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see some interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go to pastorpaul.org. In fact, you can go to the blog, and there you're going to see the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'll leave links to the scriptures in Pastor Paul's messages at the blog. You can also make a comment at the blog. So be sure to do that. If you have a comment or a testimony, you can do that at the blog. And you can also subscribe to the podcast. So the podcast is sent to you each week on Friday, where we have a new podcast. If you'd like to call the comment line, we do have a comment line. That is 1-715-808-0318. Let me slow down. The comment line, 1-715-808-0318. Call the comment line. That's probably more appropriate for a testimony. So you can just go on with the testimony and you don't have to worry about writing it out. But if you have a comment, a question, or a suggestion, you can use the blog to do that. You can also send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. And if you are in the Minnesota area, the state of Minnesota, statewide, you we do not have boundaries if you need food. So you can call our direct number to Pastor Paul's mission is 612-521-4665. Monday through Friday from 1 to 3, you can pre-register for groceries. And then you just come in the next day to pick those groceries up. So if you want more information about getting food and you live in Minnesota, the number is 612-521-4665. We also need volunteers. So if you would like to volunteer and help us prepare grocery orders, answer the phone, basically do a lot of different things, Pastor Paul will put you to work as well as Carolyn. She's great. So you can call Carolyn to volunteer Monday through Friday from 7 to 4:30. We're open from 7 to 4:30. And Wednesday night is a special evening that we've set aside for volunteers, youth groups and that. So we do have volunteers on Wednesday evenings between 5 and 8:30. So we put in a long day on Wednesday. Okay, today's message, the way involves commitment. Excuse me. The way involves commitment. Freedom is confined of power. Pastor Paul talks about that in the message. The message is really good. Making a commitment is always important. And so he talks about making a commitment in this message. And you're going to hear a lot of different things that he talks about. One thing he talks about is freedom and how freedom confined really creates power, and he uses the example of an electrical wire and a train. And so he uses that example in that when we are linked with Christ, that we do have power, but we are confined. And so you'll have to listen to that to find out about what that's all about. He also compares our old self to Pharaoh. So you'll have to go back into old Egypt and find out just how tough old Pharaoh was, but that's kind of like our old self trying to break away in our new life and how we can be miserable. How did I say that? Ooh, that came out funny. Miserable. Okay. He also, excuse me, let me get a drink here. There, okay. He also talks about sleeping with the devil. Ooh, no, he's not talking about your spouse, although, you know, at times we can think that's the devil. But no, he's talking about sleeping with the devil ourself. A lot of times we will go to sleep with the devil, our old self, and toss and turn all night and wake up the next day totally racked out. And he talks about that. It's pretty interesting. Also, he is talking about how he went to a major city as a hobo. And before he started the mission, he went to a major city as a hobo. Kind of talks about what happened there and how he was received and how he was inspired to be able to have Pastor Paul's mission and do more for poor people. And also Fred and Lee are in the house again, our hobo friends that are helping with the hobo bus. And he also talks to volunteers who brought blankets and clothes in. And that's pretty fun for me to listen to that. It brings back a lot of really good memories. Talks about many people are divided between God and mammon. And I think, didn't Bob Dylan do a song that says you've got to serve somebody? So that's what he talks about here, that you've got to serve somebody, God or mammon. You can't serve both. Talks about education. Education is a big thing with people, that everybody should be educated and we should all be very smart and everything. And his take on education is that a lot of times education can bring a lot of pride and that people can lose their sweetness. You can lose their sweetness and become a very serious bore. So that's one take on education. Probably not a popular take, but anyways, he talks about that. So you want to listen for that for sure. Oh, this is really good. It's time to throw your stuff overboard. He uses the example of the world as it is right now is similar to a sinking ship, and that it's time to throw everything overboard. Your money, your furs, your pets, your art, your booze, your drugs. And he goes on and on and on. And you probably have some things in a cache that you'd probably need to throw over as well. But in order to give your all, that's what you have to do. You have to make that commitment. That when he was saying that, that's right at the end of the message. The message runs long. And it was originally recorded in March 3rd, 1985, but it's just relevant to today. It's unbelievable. You will hear that. When he was saying that, it was at the end of the message, and when he was saying that, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the movie of Schindler's List. I don't know if you have seen that movie. One scene in that movie really affected me. It really got to me. And that scene was at the very end when, and I'm not going to go into the story. You're going to have to just go watch it if you don't know what I'm talking about. But the one scene, for those of you who do know the story, the one scene was at the very end when Schindler wanted to give away his watch. He wanted to give away everything. He said, is it too late? I may have saved more lives if I would have given away more in the beginning. And that just really affected me because I thought, you know, isn't that the truth? It's kind of like at the end you realize that what is really important in life. And he found out too in the very end what was really important, and it wasn't that gold watch, believe me. Listen, this is a good message. You're going to get a lot out of it. And I hope to see you back here next Friday. God bless you. Have a great week.
On the way involves commitment. On the way involves commitment. Self will always want you to compromise. Be a Christian, but give part of yourself, hold back a little bit, reserve a little for a rainy day, and don't go in all the way. Until we enter in all the way, we really don't have that freedom in God, until we deny ourselves totally. Now, today, as we're sitting here today, if you deny yourself totally, you're going to be wide awake. Now, I know that's simple, but it's really the truth. So you have to receive it. I can't force it on you or work the spirit of this message into you. But something I know in my own spirit, by practicing that which I preach, and I have a long ways to go, but I know that we can't hold back and compromise by being a Christian but or giving part of ourselves or holding back or reserving a little for a rainy day or not going all the way. Oh, so many times there's someone out there that we're holding on to and they don't want to go the way. And so we hold on to that person instead of letting go and let God, and doing that person a favor, glory to God, and probably saving their life by leaving them and going the way of the Lord. You see, the freedom of a train is when it's confined to the track. Off the track, all it can do is hiss. All it can do is blow off a little steam and sink over in the mud and fall over. Are you on the track? Are you on the way? Maybe even whilst I preach, you on the radio or this tape, maybe even here. It irritates you that I preach this way. On the way, all the way, go the way. You don't want to. Something is holding you back from giving your all and giving your life to gain it. And whatever gets your attention gets you. This message gets your attention, it's gotcha. Whew. That's like the freedom of this electricity is in the confining of the wires. That's what gives power to the light there. And when the kingdom power from without is confined within, we have power. When you confine all that power within, you say, Jesus, have your own way. He'll heal you. In your mind, and in your body, and in your soul. But don't compromise. Don't give compound promises. A split decision between God and a person. A split decision between God and mammon. But then I find that self lets go very reluctantly and will always ask for a compromise. Self is like the old Pharaoh who has been ruling for ages. And you ask old Pharaoh, you say, old Pharaoh, let go and give me my freedom. And he says no. And then he says yes. And then he says no. But you see, you must insist until old Pharaoh's self is miserable. You want to make yourself miserable, old Pharaoh's self miserable? Yes, you do. You want old self to get good and miserable. You want old self, Pharaoh, to be covered and plagued by the lice and the frogs and the insects and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the thick darkness. It just naturally falls over and drops dead. In Psalm 36 and 4, reads like this, he devises mischief upon his bed. How many times do people devise mischief whilst they're in their bed? That means his resting place has then become a place of plotting. Oh, God, what? Can't even go to sleep because it's become a place of plotting. I'll get even if it's the last thing I do. And you know what? The devil becomes your bed partner. Not only that, the devil says. And then they did this and did that. And I think the way we should handle this thing is be straightforward and walk up with a gun and shoot them. No, you know. Then it goes on, he setteth himself in a way that is not good. Now the man has set himself in a way that is not good. His bed partner has talked him into evil. Then when this man gets up, he persistently pursues the mischief which he has planned with the devil that night. And he gets off the way. Oh, and the worst ways he prefers to walk in. Listen now. He abhorreth not evil. Wow. He loves and he rejoices in evil. Have you found yourself in some of those straits? You might even fight it a little bit. Ooh, see, he never hates wrong and the wrong thing because it's wrong, but he meditates upon it, not only meditates upon it, he defends it and he practices it because he went to bed with the devil. Say amen, somebody. Now, it's getting kind of quiet here. I think some of us folks sleep with the devil every once in a while. Man, he is something to sleep with, isn't he? How many have found themselves sleeping with the devil? See, no one gets free until the preacher's honest. How many slept with the devil just last night? See, but we got to learn how to pass over and leave self buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Now that we're through the sea, don't wander around in a great big circle out there in the middle of the desert, and don't expose our flesh and dance around a golden calf because you're bored. Oh, it's so easy to become bored. I went to a mission before we started our mission here in a large city here in the United States, and I went in as a hobo. And I got in there, and everybody was scratching and itching and scratching, and fleas were all over, and they were, and you know how you are. I started scratching myself. I thought, wow. I couldn't scratch myself enough. But I don't know if they jumped on me when I came in or what, but I looked around, and I saw that everybody was bored, and they had some Christian actors up there, you know, and they were putting on the play and everything, but there was no love in it. It was well practiced, but it wasn't reality, and there was no love in it. Before that you could have your bowl of soup, you had to watch this play. And everybody was yawning and carrying on. Of course, they were not saved. But nobody really reached out, and no one ever even saw you. And I walked through the line and, okay, downstairs, downstairs, downstairs. They didn't say hi to anybody. They didn't say how are you to anybody. They didn't offer Christ to anybody. Everybody just walked down. They walked down the stairs, and we got downstairs, and we stood at these tables, and we had rice and tomato paste, cold. And everybody stood up and ate it. And the people looked, and I thought, well, I was started to judge, and I thought, no, I'm not even doing this, so who am I to judge? Then out of a cart, they handed sandwiches. No wrappings, no nothing, just a dried up peanut butter sandwich in a cold cup of tea. Then we came back in again, went up and came back in again as visiting folks. And then everything was all cleaned up and everything was all set up, and you went through, well, this is the area here, and this is the area here, and this is the area here. And I thought, oh, isn't that just like me? I put on one face for certain folks and another face for other folks. And I thought, God help me not to be that way. And help this mission not to go that way. And help me not to run around out there in the middle of the desert. And help me, Lord, not to yearn for the bondage of Egypt again and the garlic and the bread and the wine. Help me to pass over into Canaan. No detours, Lord, because of the conditions, and no detours on account of the circumstances. Over into glory land. That's where I want to go. I want to go over into glory land. And don't let old Pharaoh taught self, yes you and no you, around in a great big circle in the middle of the desert. Give your all to God and let Him direct you. I read a story where the Chinese used to give over their most precious thing, a whole pig. Then later on, they offered the head with the tail and the mouth. They kept the body for themselves. The Bible says, give your body to God. That's like us. We offer useless remnants and keep the essential self intact. We give a little bit of ourself, and then usually we gripe about it. Or we want everybody to see what we're doing. We offer our service and we withhold ourselves and we do our duty. I had a message some years back. It was called Pute and Doot and Duty. But you see, our heart isn't in it. You got to have your heart in it. And that's what you'll get back out of, the heart. You get the heart of the meat of the thing back out of it. No halfways. Now, I know when I was in school and I was having my problems in school, the reason I was having problems because I was only putting half of myself into it, and I was only getting half a mark. I was a D student, D minus. Actually, I was so mean they gave me D minus so they could get rid of me. It's the truth. And then something happened in my life at about my beginning of my third year of high school, and I started to take an interest, and somebody took an interest in me, and some teacher took an interest in me, and I started to get A's, and I was top of the heap for the rest of the time I was there. Somebody took an interest. Somebody walked into my desert and took me by the hand and says, "Come on out of there." And anyway, we offer our talents on occasions to Christ and reserve ourselves to make ourselves. A lot of times we have to make ourselves. And thus then our walk becomes window dressing. We hide our motives and we become half givers. We become like the mannequins in the windows. Strike a pose. Huh? Lifeless. And it's so easy to get that way because we find some excuse in the flesh to go back out into the desert and just sit down. Who cares? I'm sick of people. They're sick of you too. So to double your trouble, double your pain. Chew on that one a while. Twins. Sorry, I gave him permission to do that today. And then we go on and we pass, let's say, like a resolution of complete surrender. I surrender all. Today I resolved to give it all to God. I'm sorry. How many times have I said I am sorry to God? There isn't a sorry bone in my body unless the grace of God makes me sorry. A lot of times we're sorry because we're sorry because we got caught. No, you say, what kind of preacher are you? Well, I'm just telling you like it is. And I wish to God the rest of preachers would follow suit and do the same thing so we could get on with business and get healed. Woo! But we pass this resolution of complete surrender and then we nullify it with writers. We put a writer on the bill. And this guy told me, he said, well, I quit drugs completely, except when. And then he came and he said, well, I wonder why it isn't working. I wonder why I can't get the victory. Because you haven't given anything. You haven't fought the battle. You got to win the battle to get the victory. And you're still into half of your drugs, half of your boyfriend. So many girls get caught up with some three-piece suit, Bible-carrying, two-faced monkey. Said it, and I'm glad. And to see him coming down, you think that they were going to be a preacher for sure. The only thing they preach is self. Now you think you really got a catch. And hey, the catch is they're not a God. Say amen, somebody. But you just can't let them go because the mother instinct is in you. And, oh, you're going to change him if it's the last thing you do. It will be the last thing you do because you'll never get nothing else done but trying to change that man. Are you got it? Well, I never. I know some of you gals think I'm talking to you on the tape radio. That's exactly right. I am. I'm glad. Maybe some in here, good. Save you a whole lot of grief. Three babies just like that fellow. Oh man, I'm smacking home. I feel it. The Spirit's moving. Woo! See, that's the only way we change, when we're confronted with the truth. And the truth will set you free. Glory to God. Glory to God and glory to God again and again and again. But I don't want to receive it. Well, then stay out there in the desert pumping sand into your mouth because there's no water out there. Are you hearing it? Did you hear that, radio audience? This guy's crazy. That's true. Matthew 6 and 24 says like this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You either got to go one way or go the other way, or you're going to be out in the middle of the desert and you're going to be miserable. I know he's talking right to me. That's right, I am. Who are you talking to? I don't know, but the Spirit's moving here today, and let's just let him have his own way. Praise the Lord. I've confessed things to you, and let's confess our faults one another and be healed. In Romans 13 and 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. What's that mean? That means that you do not make provisions for the flesh to have its own way. Huh? You don't do it. Sometimes we make provisions. We set the flesh provisions for the flesh over here so it'll still live. Don't worry, I won't let you die, flesh. I'm going to put some provisions, some secret caches of food over here for you. You won't die, guy. Hey, you're wonderful, your personality, you, your hair, your eyes, people love you. Oh, you can't give that up, the way you sing, the way you talk. Oh, my, I won't let you die. Don't worry about it. We'll be one way this way, and we'll be one way. We can serve two masters. No one will catch on. Neither will you catch on. So you lay a little cache of food over here for the flesh, and then you go off over here into spiritual things, and you got to leave. It's almost time to go. Flesh is calling you. Come on, come on. We got to go. Billy O or Sally Jew is waiting over here. Come on, huh? So you're torn between two things. Being spiritual, and you act so spiritual around people. Did you pray? Let's pray. And then you go over here and you see the person out there with some of these. What do you call them? Leather pants that stick to you? Oh, I'd like to take a board and just walk up and whap one of them guys in the seat of the pants. I mean, they're the most vulgarest looking things I ever seen. And they, you know what I'm talking about? But over here, did you pray? Then down the road, disco daddy. You know what I mean? Earrings hanging all over the man. Huh? That's the man I'm doing. See what I'm saying? Are you jealous because you didn't have no hair? You ain't got a thing to do with it. How many hearing this? And oh, you know, my God, people will find things wrong with this message, say it's silly and a whole lot of things, but I'm smacking at the truth. Come on. And then it gets them all mad, so they have to say it's too simple. Hey, it's simple, but it's hitting. Right? But isn't that the way we are? Torn twixt the two? Well, either you give up and go one way with Disco Daddy or Disco Mummy, or you go this way. You can't have them both. You can't have the Lord over here and you can't booze over there. And I'm just talking about one little glass of wine. It is wrong. Do you hear that wine sipping Christians? Now I want to say something to those wine-sipping Christians. Just if you want a drink, lay down below the spigot, open your mouth up and drown yourself in it, but don't affect others with it, because people got problems with alcohol. Said it, and I'm glad. But isn't it so that we sort of search relentlessly looking for ways to satisfy God without making a commitment? Shall we pray? Did you pray? Huh? Sometimes folks come up to me, and when the Spirit is moving, and I'm all prayed up, and they come up with that phony baloney, I just feel like saying, oh, shut up. Are you hearing it? When you know there's a division in the person. Whew. And see, when you come to offer your innermost self, you'll probably do what the old Hindu does. When he offers up the water buffalo to his god, he takes this great big old long knife, see, and he puts on a great big ritual, and he walks over, and he brings a knife down. And at the last minute, he turns the knife, and he cuts off just a little piece of the ear. And isn't that just like us? We cut off the tip of some self-indulgence and leave the essential self untouched. We don't give our body, we just give a tip of our body to God. Huh? Oh, man. Well, wouldn't it be if a person gave little tips to God pretty soon that the little tips that he gave would add up to the whole person? No, because that little tip that you give to God, by the time you get around to the other side of your head, you know what happens? It's grown back on again. It's a vicious circle. Either you give your life to God, or you give your life to mammon. Hey, who are we trying to fool anyway? You cannot fool God. I'm not trying to fool God. I know myself. Desperately wicked. Isn't that what the heart is? Without God? Oh, this is a heavy mess. If I would have known this, I wouldn't have come. Oh, to God that we would have preached the truth instead of getting into Dr. Spook and ruining all the children and having all these children being ruined. There's a lot of spooks around, isn't there? Yeah. Leave the essential self untouched. And then when self is standing there smiling, didn't I do it? I gave as much as me, as a song gave of their self. I did my duty. I did. Well, big deal. Would you like to be paid now or later? Oh, in 2 Corinthians here, 6 and 15, it says, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from the midst of them, separate yourself, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 9, "For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child and think as a child and reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now I see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face, the Bible says, now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been known fully. But now faith and hope and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. If you love me, you will obey me, my God. If you love me, you will obey me." Well, don't we have trouble with obeying God? Don't we? We get into a circumstance or we get into some kind of a problem. We just can't obey. We can't trust in God. Obeying God is trusting God in the middle of a circumstance. And that's where we have the problem, trusting in the Lord. We do not want to do it. In John 16, starting in verse 12, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Sometimes I seek the Lord about certain things and he only just gives me a little bit at a time. You know why? I couldn't stand the whole thing all at once. I don't want to know all about me all at once. Just finding out ourselves, and I'm talking about the flesh part of us, okay? Finding out about ourselves in its entirety all at once would defeat you. Because see, we've built up a sort of a, hey, I'm a nice person. I've always been a nice person. I always try to be pleasant to people. I always try to be kind. But you know it's different. And as the Spirit of God starts working on each one of us, we find out that that is the most phoniest thing we can do. It is phony, isn't it? Isn't self phony? Isn't self a good actor or actress? Isn't it? But I've always been a good person. There, Jesus said, there's no one good but the Father. Who are you? But I have. People love me. I've always been good. I've tried to do right. I have. Huh? Stop trying to be good. There's no good thing in you saving Jesus Christ. That's it. Sorry, all you goody-goody ones. It's beyond me how I hear these radio these programs on the radio, how some of these preachers can be so holy. Ooh, the Spirit's moving here. Ooh, and people, ooh. Oh, I'm glad you don't carry stones into church. I am. I'm sure glad that you checked your guns in at the door. And I'm sure glad that you cannot shoot me through the radio or through this tape. The Bible says there is no good thing but God. So let's dispel that and stop trying to resurrect Adam and make something out of Adam. He is nothing. Oh, wait a minute. Aren't I made in God's image? Aren't I? Spiritually speaking, yes. But you're never going to do this flesh over. Never. Stop trying to make it over. I mean, you have to deodorize it every day, don't you? And bathe it. It works up a stink every day, all by itself. And some people think they're so good they don't even smell. What is that smell? That's you. It's you. Now, you know what I mean? Spiritually speaking again now. They have to put it into that realm because sometimes we actually think we smell better than other people, spiritually speaking. It's a you call raising a stink. Are you still with me, or did you leave? This message isn't for me. I'm so glad she's here today to hear this message. And they keep passing the message back. Oh, God, it's going out the door. The dog's going to get it out there. Come back! That's why I come up at the last minute, because people come over. My sister-in-law's here. She's a sinner. She drinks. She smokes. Oh, she's terrible. But I know it's the Spirit of God. I'll move on, okay? So then the Spirit can't move because we're all caught up in some sister-in-law that's over in the corner over there. Oh, listen to this in Colossians 2 and 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed. Wow. And overflowing with gratitude. Are you overflowing with gratitude? I am today. I am overflowing with gratitude. Two welcomes. Number one welcome. Jesus was invited into the house at Bethany, and Mary sat at His feet and heard the word. And the Pharisee also desired Him that He should eat with him, and He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And then comes the story of the woman that anointed His feet, and the Pharisee said within himself, "This man, what an attitude. This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is which touched him, that she is a sinner. See, that's like to a man like a Pharisee, there is never was a sinner, it always is. Oh, they're no good. They never will amount to nothing. Just like his dad, just like the mother. Oh, it never ceases to amaze me when people first get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, how beautiful that they are. And then they learn a little and their sweetness leaves. It's the truth. Remember how, now if it's possible for a character like me to be sweet, I think I really was at that one. Anyhow. What is sweet anyway? I don't know. But anyway, I got saved and filled with the Spirit, and I felt this sweetness all over my body. I just felt sweet. Then I started to learn a few things. Then I picked up my little attaché case of legalisms, do's and don'ts, and wills and won'ts, chances and shouldn'ts, and all kinds of directions for other people so they could be like me. And really what I was missing was my old Adam over here. I was missing all that. And so I laid a whole lot of rules and regulations on everybody else because they were all out there having fun. My old Adam wanted to get back over there with them. So I set up these guidelines to perfection. And the sweetness left. And the simplicity left. And the childlikeness left. Oh, God. And the smiles leave, and the joy leaves, and the let's get down to business sets in. Come on, let's get busy. This is serious business, following God. And then you become a horrendous bore. And you get puffed up in your knowledge and you go to this seminar and that seminar and you fly off to Poughkeepsie, and you fly down to the Bahamas, and you go all over to get these teachings, and God's trying to tell you to shut your mouth and listen right where you're at. Then you get a sort of a sophisticated look after you're in the Lord for a while. You get the religious lips. Lose all your joy. Lose all your peace. And here you are, all puffed up and with religious lips. Got the picture? A 900-pound word hog with no outlet. Just taking it in all the time, but never giving out. How many are hearing this today? That knowing it all look. You ever been around a person that knows it all? Well, they got him in the world that know it all. You ever seen somebody in the world that knows it all? It's like they're kind of on strings, you know. I know, I used to be a know-it-all. Well, on the other hand, the Christian that knows it all is this 900-pound word hog with the religious lips. It's a different type of walk, same kind of person. Self, acting out a part. Isn't that right? Aren't we all acting out parts? And then we start to have everybody in the category of is instead of was. So we got to be careful because knowledge starts to puff you up. You must remain simple. If you want to get a revelation from God, stay simple. Some people are so smart, God can't even get through to them before the Lord even comes. Oh yeah, I know what you're going to say. I know you well enough. I got the revelation before you say. I know what you're going to say before you say it, God. And they cannot receive anything from God because they're all puffed up in their own knowledge, the Bible says. And they get this great big head and nothing will come through because it's like water is up there, but it is, you know, it can't get through. It's sort of, you ever try to get through water or talk? Do you ever talk underwater? Sound comes, but it's all muffled and burbly. Huh? Some people get their head stuck in a wine glass and have the same effect. But God's orders are very simple. Follow me. Don't follow after a preacher. Follow me. But then Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. You know, otherwise God will have to go through your puff to prove. How many know God knows how to unpuff us? You get all swole up like this great big balloon, you know, and you're walking around. Great big balloon. Oh, look at that balloon up there. Boy, isn't he spiritual? That balloon, see, is up there. And the angel comes along to your aid and puts a pin in you. Huh? But to the Pharisee attitude and the Pharisee person, once a sinner, always a sinner. You're never going to be any good. And they never forgive and they never forget. But Jesus forgave and Jesus forgot. And Jesus says, Simon, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss and you didn't anoint my head with oil. In other words, Simon, I have come to your house partway at the door, and I'm standing in the door. You gave me food, but you reserved your heart. You gave me a welcome, but with reservations. I am in, yet I am not in. This woman has sinned in her flesh, but you have sinned in your spirit. I can release her, but I can't release you. You won't let me come in. You want your pride, and you want me, and you want your liquor, and you want me, and you want your disco daddies, and your disco mamas, and you want me, and it won't work. You gotta go one way, or you gotta go the other way. You would like to have me, but you would like not to have me. You are divided, and therefore you are damned. But then we have Mary, and Mary welcomed him and gave him food and her heart, and she sat at his feet, the Bible says, and he was at home there, for the welcome was complete. Is your heart a Bethany to Christ today or a Pharisee's house? Surrender self, and this will turn that cold, that barren, that critical, that aloof, that I've grown so much, I am above them. That self-righteous, that Pharisee's house into a Bethany. Let me read something out of Psalm 37. Let's go into verse 5. Commit your ways to the Lord. That's like a farmer. He commits his corn to the ground. And he sows the seed out there, and then that's all he has to do. He commits to ground. Commit your ways to the ground. Bury them. What else can you do? What else can the farmer do? He's got this seed. Unless it falls into the ground and dies. Oh, let's see, I have this seed here. What'll I do with it? I'll have to take a chance if I throw it in the ground. The Word of God says if I put it in the ground and it dies, it'll come up. And it's the same way in your spiritual walk, folks. If you'll give yourself to the Lord, if you'll allow the Lord to plant you, if you'll allow the Lord to give you water and to give you the sunshine, then the Lord is going to do something in your life, and it's going to spring up back to you 30 and 60, yes, and even 90-fold. But if you don't have the courage to do that and to believe God and trust in the Lord and give your ways over to the ways of the Lord and put that in the ground and believe God, what God has to say, to put it down, lay your life down, to gain your life, you're not ever going to gain one thing. No, you will not. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Oh, I like that. You want to trust in the Lord? And he will do it. Isn't that precious? He will do it. You want to trust in the Lord all the way? He'll do it. You might have to give up something over here. Do it today. Listen to what it says. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Isn't that a good word? Isn't that? That makes you smile, don't it? He will do it. And then it goes on in verse, let's go down to verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now when the corn goes into the ground, it doesn't raise up its little kernel and everyone, hey, what's happening above ground there? Go on out of here. Hey. I don't mind being down here for a little while, but hey. No. No, it waits patiently on him. When you lay your life down for a resurrection to come in that particular area in your life, it takes a little bit of dying, and it takes a little bit of being down in the ground a little bit. Spoken and said, wow, wow, oh, it's great, wonderful to be alive. Now you're alive. You've been resurrected. And then a chute comes off you this way, and then one comes off this way, bleep. Then you start to bear fruit. Hey, I bared enough. And there's still that spirit of, I've always been a good person. Hey, you have not. go into the ground and die. Well, I never. I hate you, Pastor Paul. Well, it's not me that you hate, it's Christ in me that you hate. The Bible says they're going to be hating you because of Christ in you. And they will say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Listen now. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in His way. Oh, we fret. Look, it seems like the evil ones, they prosper. Look at him, minks and coats and Cadillacs and jewels and furs and stuff. Don't fret over it. It's better for us to have nothing and have peace of mind and peace of heart and the joy of the Lord. For all them riches can be taken in one day, and you could lose your health, lose your life that way. How many million and billionaires are sitting there? Get my pills over there. And the people are kind of holding back, waiting for them to die. Yeah, I'll be right with you. Huh? You want to live like that? Whoa! Whoop! Not me! Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, and do not fret because of him who prospers in His way. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Oh, this guy is so sharp. And he gets away with it. Huh? So what? No one gets away with anything. Ah. Listen. Cease from anger and forsake wrath and do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And you lay there at night, and you're laying there at night. Why do some people think they're so evil, God? Who's evil? Who's keeping you awake at night? Your bed partner, the devil. Hey, he's got sharp horns. And hoofs. Understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, you know what? You just remind me. You're so simple. I'm going to stay simple, characters. I'm going to stay simple. I'm going to be a simple character. And that's the way it's going to be, because it's the only way to get across to folks. You make them so mad or so glad one way or another, they get up and do something about their spiritual walk and they stop sluggardizing. Now, I said that and I'm glad. For evildoers will be cut off. God, you're going to get cut off. Yeah, sure. No, don't get that kind of attitude. But those who wait, now you can get so self-righteous in this. But those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. And yet a little while the wicked man will be no more. Careful, your horns ain't showing. Say amen, somebody. Hey, there's some more here. Go ahead. There's something here I've seen I want to read. And this is in Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. No more guesswork. Like a child. And it says, and he delights in his way. Now, you're not perfect. And it's just like your child. Don't you delight in your child when he takes his first steps? Huh? Gets up and goes over to the coffee table. Huh? And you know the Lord delights in those little baby steps that you're taking? As long as you're on the way and you're not into the schemes and worrying about... Do babies worry about evildoers? No, they sometimes even walk up and give them a kiss. They don't worry about the person that has a whole lot of money and furs and jewels. They just walk up and say, Nico, 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 Nico. Nay. Nay. Huh? Pull off that $4,000 earring and stick it in her mouth. Huh? Don't worry about it. Don't fret about all this. Someone that prospers in his way. Be like a child. Oh, that's a pretty coat you got. Wow. Thank you for allowing my eyes to feast on it. Oh. I don't have to worry about no one stealing it either. Huh? All things belong to me, but you can have it. It's okay. Isn't that childlike? And when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. When you do fall, you're not going to go headlong into some kind of a pit. I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. Wow. Isn't that good? Woo! Then you got to give all you know and all that you don't know. Maybe you have a fear today that you haven't given your all to God. Well, don't worry, there's always a portion that's there that you don't know that you haven't given. Just be honest and say, Father, I give all I know and all that I don't know to you. And don't worry, what you don't know will be revealed to you in due season, for God reveals to all of you all at once. If he gave it to you all at once, it'd be too much, too heavy for you, too much of a trip. You'd die of a heart attack, a shock to your system. The inner voice then will come and it will guide you. It never ceases to amaze me. I marry people and it only takes an hour, less than an hour. And yet it takes a lifetime to really be married. Did you know that? Because people never really get to know each other. They're so busy playing the part of mom. Sometimes we overplay the part of being mom. So we're not a wife. We're a mom. We're apron and graying at the temples and Betty Crocker glasses. And corny platform shoes. Now children, and you know, we Bambi out on the thing, you see what I mean? With the eyelashes and so on. And we Bambi out and leave the husband over here to just fend for himself. Or we're the other way and we're all, husband, get out. Kids, leave me alone. Huh? We never have any kind of balance. Did that touch a knife? I think so. It's getting kind of quiet in here. Now you young lovers will find out what I'm saying is the truth. Oh, you know what comes to my mind here? It's just a beautiful thing if you're really waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you through everything. This couple wakes up in the morning, see, and they roll over and they face each other and they're kind of sleeping there. Oh, good morning. See, it's lost its flavor. And overnight, the stink sets in and they got to go wash their mouth out again to get right for each other for the next day. Morning. And then they get their mouth all in tune again. Morning, darling, morning. Isn't that the way it is? It's one day at a time. A lot of times your mate is a tool to reveal you. Huh? Oh, I could wring your neck. Friday, I used this key. I was up here at the key shop. And they had blank keys. There's nothing on. There's just a blank key. There's a lot of Christians like that. They're a blank key. They don't open up anything. Then I said, as you go and you have the highs and lows in your life and these ridges here, you see these valleys and you see these high spots and so on like that. You stick it in the lock and it opens up a door. But there's suffering and there's joy and there's suffering and there's joy and there's suffering and there's joy and there's suffering and there's joy. First the suffering and then the joy. The suffering and joy. Did you know that? And the high part right here on the bottom of the key ends up in joy. But it ends up in joy because it opens up the door. Opens the door. And every time we grow in the Lord, it opens up another door. And I'm just looking at you because you happen to be up here front. There's no special revelation I'm getting. No. You know, I'm not zeroing in on you or anything like that, but you're just here, so we have to use each other. But it opens up a door. Sometimes the husband is the part that cuts the ridges. And sometimes it's a wife. Huh? How many are hearing this? Lock all the doors and windows. How many hearing this? Woo! You gain your life by giving your life. Are you hearing this? Oh, I thought to myself, I was getting ready for this message today. I thought, oh, that's a little small, little old world word there, but within it is an amazing capacity for unfolding. It holds within it pleasure, but you don't have all your pleasure all at once, do you? And the battle and the struggle and the joy and the peace and the beautiful relationships and the difficult adjustments. Because life must be lived in steps. It doesn't happen all at once. People want to be happy all at once. Instantaneous happiness. And so they get married and they have in the back of their mind, they have it conjured up that marriage is going shopping and you take your little cart and there's some cake and there's some stuff like that. And they don't really know anything about it. Shopping is someone rolling up the back of your heels with a cart. Shopping is someone putting their grocery cart in the middle and the kids standing there. Huh? And so they're not real. See, we cannot know it all at once. There's a lot of living to do. There's a lot of learning to do. And so it's all I know and all I don't know, and it's an unfolding future. And I thought to myself, I know the Lord is cleaning out my old subconscious mind. Because where I want to do good, evil is always present. The old man, the inherited evil, the original sin. It seems like all of these things are working against my conscious mind, my inherited instincts, and way down deep inside of myself, I am polluted. And so I find I must die, and I must bury that pollution of the flesh so that I can come up strong in the Lord, 30, 60, 90. So that I can have some kind of a unity and some kind of a power and some kind of a victory. And so now I'm finding I have an acceptance of myself. I accept myself as giving all I know and all I don't know, and I go on in the Lord and I say, Lord, have your own way in my life. I come as a child. I'm going to give you all that I know I'm giving, and I know you'll give me all that I need to keep me going. And I know that if I paid all that I can pay, I can expect all from God. Now I can live expecting, because now I'm not rejecting what Lord has for me in His life. That's just like going up to a peanut machine. We'll use this for a peanut machine, all right? Huh? And you walk up and you put your penny in there. You have faith that when you put your penny in there, you're going to get some peanuts out of it. You don't just stand there and watch it. Okay. No, you got to have aggressive faith. You got to turn the lever. Okay, now put your hands out, honey. Okay. Okay, now open the chute. Just open the chute here. Yep, and open the chute. Okay, how many you got there? What, a half dozen or so? Huh? Okay, now how did you get those? You took what you had and you put it in the machine. And you had aggressive faith, and now you're going to take those peanuts out of there and you're going to eat them. Too simple? Too simple to eat? Is this too simple of a message for you to eat? Thanks, honey. Is it? You got to have aggressive faith. You got to put something into it or you won't get nothing out of it. How do you like them peanuts? Woo. Now let me close with this today. Sort of a personal word. Don't put it off until tomorrow, and don't let the devil deceive you right now and right now and right in your seats and right while you're listening to the radio and right while you're listening to this tape. You're going to feel God's presence as you give your all. I'll give it. God, how do you get across to people? Give your all. Give your all. A-L-L, A-L-L. You got to cheerlead people into doing it. Give your all. And God will give you His all. Are you hearing it on the tape and radio? My God, give your all. And God then will give you His all. When you pay the price of giving your all, God will show you the areas you thought you had given your all, but you only give all that you knew. Don't worry, God knows how to get your all out of you if you're just open to saying, my God, I want to give it all. Oh, and in the end times, people, we're going to have Christians that are going to give their all. It's not going to be part-time Christians. It's not going to be people that are going to go halfway. God is calling a people out of a people. God is saying, come be separate from the world. My God, get yourself separate from the world. Separate yourself from the world. Separate yourself from the world. Don't come on and say, did you pray? And just get right with God today. Get right and start doing that which God has called you to do. And give your all to God. All that you know and all that you don't know. Because God knows how to get your all out of you. How many are hearing what I'm saying here today? I tell you, we have to prepare people for this final thing that's coming up. The end of the world. The very end of the world. I saw a story sometimes back. And it comes to my mind about this ship that was going down. They said, throw everything overboard. Throw it all over. Blah, blah. What, what? And the ship was going down. The people had to throw over their money. And they had to throw over their furs. And they had to throw over their pets. They had to throw over their clothes. And they had to throw over their art and their booze and their drugs. And they had to throw it all overboard. And some of you listening today are tossed and driven in an effort to keep your world overboard with it all. Overboard with all of your worries and hang on to's and drop the sails of pride and self-righteousness. And God will, right now, If you'll just say right in your seats, God will hear your faintest cry, I give my all today. All that I know and all that I don't know. For Lord, I find myself in a very miserable situation. The ship is going down. And finally now in Psalm 44 and 18, our heart is not turned, neither have our steps reclined from thy way. Here we see that the heart and the life are agreed. And both right now are on the true path of the Lord. Our heart, it says, which means our mind, which means our will, which means our affections, which means our conscience, which means our whole soul. See, we continue on even in the winter of times, and we continue on in the summer day the same way. We're not perfect. And I'm not perfect, and we're not perfect, but we're learning while we are on the way. How many know we're in the very tip of the very end age right now? Oh, God, it's a time to make resolves and say, God, I want to go all the way. This is time not to be bitter and, I've always been a good person. Yuck. Yuck, double yuck, yuck, stink, yuck, yuck. Oh, God, you know me. Say amen, somebody. How many want to just lift your hands up and praise the Lord? Hey, it's the time of the coming of the Lord. Oh, I hate to put my hand up, but I will. If you on the radio, lift your hands up. Just lift them up and give up. If this message spoke to you, do you think it's easy to get up here and preach these kind of messages? Hey, it's done by the power of the Lord. My God, people need deliverance, and it'll save you from the psychiatrist's couch. You don't have to pay that $45 for a half hour. Just lift your arms up and praise God, for He hath done it. Come on, boys, put your arms up. Praise the Lord. He hath done it. Trust in the Lord. Lean ye not upon your own understanding. I thank God for all you people here. Today we were ministering to the radio and the tape audience, especially here today. There's so many people out there that are drawn between two different masters. They are. And don't you think, would you rather have a preacher that just got up and, you know, shellacked his hair so if you bumped him, his hair would crack and fall off his head? Huh? As someone that's tall in stature, using the right pronunciation, all the right words. What did he say? I don't know, but it sure sounded good. Huh? There's not time for that. It's a time to deal with the problems that are in hand. Sin. I don't care. I've always been a good person. Oh, God, die. My God, die. That's the problem. People do not want to die. Huh? How many in here thought at one time you were a pretty good person? I did. Oh, you thought you were a pretty good person. You thought you were better than someone else. You thought you were better than someone else? I mean, there's people worse than you are. God, only when we can admit it do we get free. That's my job up here. Because, you see, today is today. Tomorrow I might drop dead. Good, I hope you do. Huh? Sometimes I hope I do, too. Let's be honest about it, folks. Say amen, somebody. I tell you, going out on the bus and going out of the highways and byways, we find out there's a whole lot of people that need Christians that are mentally healthy, and there's a whole lot of sickness in the house of God. Sickies walking into the house of God. Isn't that sick to hate one another? Isn't that sick to have a division in your life and have the disco daddy, disco mama, whatever, and go to church and all this? Isn't it strange? Okay, I said it and I'm glad. That's the end of the message. In fact, I said quite a lot. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Anybody? And just put your hand up and say, I don't know. I'd like to know today. Someone in here. Oh, praise the Lord. Fred, I heard a good report on you. Heard some of your buddies tried to lead you down the hill and into the wine jug, and you said, nope, and you walked up the hill. I just thought I'd bring that up. I think that's great. Huh? I mean, those guys are fantastic. That Lee and Fred. Huh? Aren't they great? Let's hear it for those two. They're just... there's a song that says, give me a reason for living. Isn't there? That seems to be. Give me a reason for living. Oh, yeah, there is. We all need a reason for living, and the reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other reason under the sun. There's no other reason unless you be filled with the Spirit and working for God. What other reason is there for living? None. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him today. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, I'm so glad you came today, boys. And you're going to help your friend over there to help him trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's hear it for this young man right over here. Ooh. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus? And I'm going to go out fishing. It'll take me about 30 seconds because I got good bait. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know all you people. Are you born again, honey? Are you born again, sweetheart? Okay. So glad you're here today. Have I missed anybody? Oh, praise the Lord. Are you people born again? You know what I mean by that? Now, I was a Methodist, and I got into Methodism, and that was fine, but I never had a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ. It says you must confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you're saved. And if you're not ashamed of me in front of man, I won't be ashamed of you in front of the Father. Have you ever made a personal commitment to Jesus? And ask him in your heart, okay, your kids too? Okay, if you don't know for sure, because it isn't through confirmation, and it isn't through anything. You become confirmed to a building. It's like coming in here, you say, I belong to Disciples Ministry. No, you belong to God, and the only way you do that is confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you're saved. That is the only way you can be saved. No other way under the sun. You all sure? Are you sure, honey? Would you like to pray today if you're not sure? How about you? Are you sure? Because if you aren't, we'll pray with you. And I'm not trying to dig at you, but boy, it says, you know what it says? It says, go to the highways and the byways and the hedges and all that, and it says, and compel them to come on in. That means you drag them in. There, some of them you have to drag in by the feet. I don't want to come. Are you born again, honey? These people came down. They were involved going under the bridges. And they seen our thing on TV, and so they said, well, why don't we join forces? They brought down all these blankets and clothes and all this stuff. You know what? All them blankets is gone. Some guys got on the bus last night, and they went walking off with them brand new blankets. Yep, they went marching right off. And a bag of food. Did you bring pillows, too? Well, somebody else brought the pillows. So they had, oh, and did you bring the fluffy, foamy stuff? Yeah. Well, just like clouds. So you just lay on that stuff and just like laying on the clouds. This big foam rubber. And they brought that, and they brought some other stuff. And then some other people, they came from another neighborhood, way out some places. Our whole neighborhood got together, but we were so afraid. A man put fear in us and said, don't go to the north side. You know, they'll tip your car over and burn it. No, it's really dangerous. Is it really that bad down there? I says, heavens no. Do you think I'd be down here if it was that bad? Hey. Hubcaps once in a while might take a motor out of your car, but I've never heard of anybody tipping it over. So you got to have a little bit of humor, and sometimes you're misunderstood when you have a little bit of humor. Do you know that? That's why, because people want to misunderstand you. But I says, no, come on down. So the whole neighborhood cooked up this great humongous pot of stew. And then they came down with all of these different things and the clothes they had. Man, it was brand new stuff. I mean, I thought, boy, this is better than I got. You know, that wouldn't take much, let me tell you. And they had all these nice clothes and jackets and nice big old red wing boots, you know, with the wings still on them, you know what I mean? And you know, like the, you know, on the bottom of the cat's paw marking was still plain on there. Cat's paw, you know. You know what I mean? If you just stepped down, they'd know who you were. You know, everything was good. New is what I'm trying to say. And they brought all these things in. And people all over are bringing things in. Isn't that one? Bringing in the sheaves. bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing.